This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network, and the following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, one straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live,
Bears Hour Live,
Bears Hour Live, one straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Coming hard every Monday night, Central 10 East, spilling out prescriptions for the Bears fan with a Bear disease.
Jumping in the chat room with the bar fries, bringing knowledge. This show's an honest course, if Bears football was a college.
This girl's a moderator, Dr. Phil is the host.
Throwing dimes through the window from the open to the post. Talking live on the air, that's known for my devotion. First name Phil, my last Atoshin.
Apple Phil on Twitter,
bringing crews close in touch. I'm riding foreign country, singing Oh Canada.
BHL, floor on top, like saliva does backwash. I take this back to high school to take a football back course.
Guests on the show,
speak the serum of the truth.
365, Bears talk in the bar. Analyzing every one of Mitchell 7-step drops.
No doubt, how is the leak? Cause we never flip-flop.
Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Hill and Bears Draft on the field. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears Girl and this draft on the field. Bears Hour Live. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk.
And this time Shaheen's got it for a touchdown.
Dr. Phil guy.
Breaking down the film, not a problem, get it straight. Other blogs focus on stats, we focus on the tape. Bears down or up, BG's maple syrup. Bears Barroom Worldwide, you never know who'll show up. Marvel flipping pages, it's the barrooms making shows. Sometimes we get the mailman without his head in pantyhose.
Call HR, the show's about the start.
And while you're at it, stick that barroom sticker on your car. Monday through Friday, the barroom's got you covered.
BHL places tags, cause Fuller's got you smothered.
Draft Dr. Phil, it's always hit sticks. Splitting double teams like 96 Akeem Hicks.
Our line
keeps growing, Mitchell keeps throwing. Dimes on time and in the window, bees blowing. Don't deny it that the show is a collaboration with a fan.
Bears girl moderated, Dr. Phil is the man.
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy. Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live. One straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
Dumped again, Akeem Hicks.
The show where we always bring the truth.
Jackson, touchdown Bears!
Trubisky to the 42-yard line! Oh my goodness!
Howard left side, to the 10, to the 5, game over!
Bears Hour Live, Bears Hour Live, one straight hour of Bears talk with Bears girl and that draft Dr. Phil guy.
With mottos like BU and different emphasis on individuality within this team, you know, it's something that you don't see a lot in the NFL world. How do you see that benefiting the team concept, and what do you hope that it brings out from your group?
Well, my biggest thing when we say that as a organization, and it's funny because you are hearing guys say that now, and hey, just be you, and it's important because when you get into these roles and these specific positions on offense, defense, and special teams, there's a bunch of different personalities. And there's quiet guys and there's guys that are loud. And I just hate to pull back from any of that. I want guys to just be real, be themselves. And typically when you do that, when good things happen, then you know the guys that are vocal leaders will keep cool heads prevailed and no one will get too high, no one will get too low. So it's just, again, I don't want to beat it down with what it is, but I want to keep it simple and it's just be you and let your personality show.
Hello, Bears fans. We're back. You're listening to Bears Hour Live with Draft Dr. Phil. You just heard our head coach, Matt Nagy, addressing the media last week at the end of the Bears OTAs, where he explained what the motto BU means to him. We're going to cover thoughts on all the pressers from the Bears, NFL, and Bears news, and of course, answer all our barfly questions they've submitted on Twitter with the hashtag AskBHL. Let's get this show started like we do with your opening rant, Phil. But I gotta be honest, I'm not sure what you're gonna rant about, because I'm in love with the Bears and what's coming out of Hallis Hall lately. What is on your mind tonight, Doc?
Oh, you're kind of stealing my rant tonight, because I think I'm in love with this because, you know, I go by the moniker Draft Doctor. And I've always said the remedy for what has been disastrous for the Chicago Bears has been the lack of integrity and the class that goes along with it in being honest to, let's call it, a football-educated fan base, people through fantasy football and people through reading and just loving this great game. Clearly, the television numbers, despite what Trump has tried to trumpet down, the NFL is the king of all of television and all of fans. You know, I grew up around football my whole life, coached it, played it as far as I could go and remember, around people that decided they were going to go in a different path. And now I see them or bump into people that I played football with or basketball with, and they wish they had played this great game of football. That's their biggest regret. They always feel like they have to come to me like I'm a priest to make their confession. I should have stayed. I should have played football. Because they're learning the game as they get older. They want all the information. They want to know it. So when you are lying or not honest, and that message, you know, tremors down the path and you begin to lose, it becomes even worse. It's not solid ground. And I look at where the Chicago Bears were just 3-4 months ago to where, and yes, this is talk, but talk is laying the foundation of your premise, your culture of your football team. And that, to me right now, is everything I ever desired the team that I was so loyal to, beyond loyal, just absolutely fanatical about this football team. And what they needed to do better was on the tip of my tongue all the time. And being around some of the greatest coaches in football, to hear them talk about the Bears and laugh and chuckle at the dysfunction and the stupidity and the lying and the terrible draft choices and the terrible decision. And then you had Fox coming in like the cherry on top. To look at what Matt Nagy is bringing culturally, talking all of it, from the personnel decisions to getting Ryan Pace, having that ace in the hole, getting the franchise quarterback, to what they did in the draft and free agency, to all the maneuvers they made to today, and taking a young man that gave his heart and soul to the game of football, but as well as the Chicago Bears, knowing he got screwed out of a touchdown, knowing his career could end and he could be nothing, and having the sense of class. Those little things matter. As I tweeted out this morning, it sends a message not only to the league, but to the whole entire locker room, where it's most important, where all the blood rushes to in regards to football, that everybody matters in this family. And think about your own family or any team sport you ever played where you just knew there was a kid that was the best but wasn't getting opportunity, or a kid that was poor and couldn't make it to practice. Did you go pick him up? This coach is laying the foundation of taking Zach Miller, who may never play again, and making him not only a part of the football team and the culture, but also a part of the family of the Chicago Bears. And to me, tonight, always focusing on so much negativity, I had today to think about how far we've come in just 3 or 4 months' time. There's continuous contrarians out there. They're hard to deal with. They just don't believe it when I see it. And when they do see it, it's got, well, we'll see what happens next week. That's not me. I've never lived by that. I've lived by a code of culture, and how you set your deck is going to be the vault or the launching pad for your season. And for me, you know, Adam Johns put out the fact that Coach Nagy went to a fireman's funeral. These little things are just for the person who's leading this football team. I always say the team is a reflection of the head coach. You heard in the opener, be you. What does that mean? He explained it. But let me go further than what he said, and he's probably saying this, and you'll see inside the NFL or inside the Bears or whatever the media department decides now that they're more creative and have a little bit more freedom to be transparent, that you're going to see a Coach Nagy throw a few cusses out there. And he's going to isolate on the positivity and uplift this football team, because I see that this guy is a guy that's going to take a Rubik's Cube and he's going to finish the puzzle. He's not going to leave it. He's not going to let the best sit. He's going to allow you to be yourself and embrace that in the good and the bad. And that is showcasing in what the Chicago Bears franchise is sending out into the universe. A big believer in positivity. And I know rants can be rants and people could say and words could be words. But tonight, I sit on a different chair. I sit in a different place in my mind looking forward to a football season. Not optimistically, but excitedly. And that is the difference, because I feel like, for the first time, the plan is in place. The personnel is in place. But most importantly, the head coach is in place. And I applaud the transformation that Ryan Pace has had to endure to get to the point where he has his guy, his quarterback, and now is giving the keys over to Matt Nagy, who's handling this step for step with class, making us proud of the Bears again.
So I know that some fans out there today were already tired about hearing about the news about Miller's contract, but that's just too damn bad, because we're going to talk about it anyway. I mean, the guy almost lost his leg in that game against the Saints, so I completely agree with you. It's a very classy move by the organization, but that one-year contract actually is even more important, because as a free agent, he wasn't eligible to collect injury protection, and that $458,000 that he's going to get if he doesn't play during 2018 is also going to allow the team to cover any and all medical bills by having him on the roster. So money well spent, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're talking about a message again, BG. You care. Do you care about your kids? Do you care about your family, your grandmother, your cousin? You know, what we do by action speak louder than words. You hear that a lot, but it's true. What more of a classy move can you make? This is going beyond ownership, beyond anything, and saying, you've laid yourself on the line for this football franchise, and we are going to do the same for you. And that, what message does that send to Eddie Goldman, who's going to be a free agent, and Adrian Amos? What does it send to the league that these guys care? And really, I've discovered working in the prison system with juveniles that, you know, they could have done the most heinous crimes. But if you respect them and you get to the heart of the truth, they're going to respect you back and there'll be no issues. Just like in the NFL, the same thing. You took class, BG, to understand that we're going to protect you. Now, I don't know how many millions of dollars Zach Miller has made in the NFL. A lot more than myself or anybody listening in the show, I believe. Maybe there is the millionaire out there listening right now. But the point of the matter is the respect for what you endured goes beyond. And this guy could end up being an eventual coach if he can't play. You know, I feel like they embraced his dream of getting back on the football field. They embraced the locker room by giving a respected leader an opportunity to get back on the football field, but ultimately allowed him to be around the team therapeutically as well as for the team. Is, I can't express how these little things mean a lot. And I know, like you said, a lot of people are tired of hearing it, but I'm with you. I think it's a direct opposite, polar opposite of what we've seen this organization do and handle their relationship with their personnel. And I think it's something that is important. And as a coach, I would honestly hope that I would be as strong to say that I would want to do the same thing, because those little things always meant a lot to players more than I even have ever thought. So when I did something so small, in this case, it's not a lot of money. I mean, they gave a kicker that they were giving a tryout to who couldn't make the team. I forget his name. What was it? Cairo Santos? Or the other kicker Carlos. They picked up from Carlos, that was John Fox's boy, Carlos, Cairo Santos, a shot. They ended up giving him like $500,000 guaranteed. Here you are guaranteeing a guy's security, a relationship, and sending a message to the football team, the locker room, where it's most important. Trust me. If you lose the locker room, Mark Trestman, John Fox, you lose on the field and you lose the team and your job. It's important to build that trust and have those relationships and set the tone. Obviously, you don't cater. It's a real fine razor line that you have to have with your coaches and your players. Right now, you're seeing Matt Nagy handle this and Ryan Pace and company handle this expertly. And I think this is just tremendous.
So Barfly is listening in live in our chat room. Completely agree. The Games Report is saying the structure of our chain of command is so greatly improved. He's also saying Miller always puts his body on the line. Ryan D is in the house and he says they let the man get top tier NFL health benefits. Good for him and great for us. Bobby's in the house and he says, agreed, we've got plenty of room on the roster. Who cares if he takes a spot? And Aldo is chatting up a storm in the chat room, and he says the only thing left to do is deliver a certain individual to Miller in a duffel bag. And I think we know who that is, but since it's a family show, I'm not going to say it.
Well, I'll say Big Al.
You can say Big Al.
Big Al. Just all he has to do is apologize. I don't know if any of you saw, what was it, Barstool interviewed Sean Payton. And they asked him about the catch. Was it a catch or not? Mm-hmm. Here's Sean Payton, the opposing head coach. He doesn't have anything to lose or gain. He could have said no comment. His obvious answer was dead square on his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a touchdown. It's a shame. And that's why I have zero confidence, zero, in Big Al and the future of the officiating, especially with all these new rules that obviously we'll get into all offseason. But that's just shameful that they just couldn't admit they're wrong. Because honestly, BG, I looked at that play, I don't know, 120 times. And I've never came away, well, it could be. And I'm just a black and white guy. It's either a catch or not. To me, it's 100% a catch. And it's disgusting that it wasn't ruled as such and apologized and rewarded as such. I tried to get the hashtag asterisk catch going so the McCaskies can align that up in the media guide. But hopefully Barflies can continue to press that button. Because it is ridiculous that it doesn't count.
Ridiculous, you say, eh, Phil? Interesting word. So, let's move on, because we've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. The vibe coming from these pressers is night and day. The one Vic Fangio gave is no different, and I want to talk about that next, Phil. He had this to say about linebacker Danny Trevathan.
I know you guys are all interested in the rookies, and understandably so, but I think some of the veterans have gotten better through this time too, and you know, guys like Trevathan, you know, and you may ask why that. Well, last year he didn't do any of this stuff. He didn't do any OTAs. He didn't hardly did any training camp, as you guys remember. Didn't play in any preseason games, and to me that set him back last year. And he was injured the year before a good bit. You know, he's missed, and this is the first time he's had a nice chunk of work, and I see improvement with him.
So what do you got to say about that, Phil?
I think it's a great point because he's recognizing and pointing out that this is a football player that has always been pressed up against the clock. I remember vividly being with on this show wondering out loud, there's no way that Danny Trevathan would be ready for training camp, let alone maybe not even the first game, yet there he was out there. And I honestly was shocked in regards to his recovery and effort to get back on the football field. But with the lack of practices and the ability to go live and be in pads and these OTAs and mini camps and the limited amount of practice time and reps they get, it's a very tremendous point that these live reps for lack of practice, and I think Vic went into this later in this presser because assistant producer Nikki put the presser in this afternoon, and I got to watch it again. And one thing I pulled away besides Danny T is the fact that Vic was talking about double sessions and the amount of time and practice that was put in just 10 years ago in the NFL and what they were able to do and how they were able to get reps for these football players. Now, because they don't have that, these OTAs and these classroom sessions where they're installing parts and bits of the defense and then transitioning it over to the football field become that much more important. So if you're missing these voluntary things that aren't voluntary, I put the hypothetical quotes up there, that you become set back in mentally as well as physically because you want to see these players transition what they're learning in the classroom onto the football field. Danny Trevathan, honestly, I was so high on Jarrell Freeman coming into last season. Based on what I saw on tape, the first part of the football season, Danny Trevathan just astonished me coming off injury, then playing through, then obviously he got the suspension for the tackle, but ultimately he was a standout and was playing the best I've ever seen the guy play. So if you're building off of that, like Vic's saying, now he's got a whole offseason. And I think Vic made it a point to say that because of the kind of leadership and pride I'm sure a veteran football player like Danny Trevathan has right now, hearing all this hype surrounding Roquan Smith. Here's a little mental bouquet thrown Danny's way that's necessary. It's saying, hey, we appreciate you too, and look, now Danny has the time. And also puts Danny on notice too, that the defensive coordinator is praising you as a leader of this football team and somebody who's getting more reps. These mental games and praises and pats on the backs, as well as not so, to get you refocused. We've talked about it with Fuller, how Vic handled Kyle Fuller and how he came back last year. This, to me, is a great showcase of what Danny is going to be for the Chicago Bears this year and what he's going to bring to the football field, because ultimately, getting another year under his belt in the expectation of what Vic has, as well as having a rookie that's honestly going to be a starter with him on the football field, you don't want to get the hype sided on one side, meaning it's already in the air how much hype is Roquan Smith is getting. You don't want Danny to mentally have an issue. You want them to be together. And how do you do that? By praising and recognizing the talent that is there and the road ahead. And really, I thought this was an expert move by Vic. And it's also a tremendous point that Danny has always been set back with injury in regards to putting in defense. So I'm excited about this point. That's why I wanted it to be brought on the air, because I don't think Danny Trevathan gets enough credit. I'm doing this with Amos, as I've said, it's a long process. You see other players jump out, and one of the guys that clearly has played better than even I thought he did was Danny Trevathan.
So there's another player I want to talk about, Taylor Gabriel. He was reported to have run 24 miles per hour or 39 kilometers per hour for our international listeners, which is the speed limit in my neighborhood. Was there ever a doubt this kid would live up to his nickname, Turbo? Here's what Nagy had to say about him being more than a gadget.
Taylor's a kid that, you know, everyone kind of puts that whole little gadget thing to his name and to how he plays the game, because he's not very big, but he's super fast. But he's a wide receiver that is learning each and every day how to play wide receiver in this offense. Now, with that said, he's able to do a lot of the things that we've done in the past, and with jet motions and get the ball to him quick on screens and some of the RPO stuff. But for him, what I'm happy with what he's done so far is he's taken to the teaching that we're giving him. This isn't something where he's coming in and just trying to do his own thing at all. He's coming in here and he's listening to how we're teaching, and he's trying to get better every day.
It's funny because the bromance of me and Shane Marsall continue, because today I really wanted, you know, to send some ideas of what we wanted to talk about, and it was, and BG can attest, mm-hmm. Me and Shane DMing at the same time, some of the same thoughts. And one of them was Taylor Gabriel. And I have been studying the Kansas City Chiefs offense, and I purposely wanted to study every rep that Gabriel had in Atlanta. Not in Cleveland. I just wanted to see him in Atlanta with Matt Ryan. And I came away recognizing that, and I know this is big for now, but there is a real, real, real similarity to Tariq Hill here. And I say that in regards to what Matt Nagy said. I didn't even hear this quote here until tonight. It's funny because I'm saying the same thing, that this is the piece. A lot of people want to talk about Cohen, and I've talked about Cohen in that too. So, hey, you get two, you get better. But I want to give this young man the props that he deserves, because in watching how Atlanta used him, they completely, I don't want to swear, they completely peed down their leg. They didn't use him appropriately to his skill set. So when you look at what Kansas City is doing with this kind of football player, the slot guy that can move outside, jet motion, not a gadget player, just a wide receiver, like he's saying. This kid, 24 miles per hour. I don't know if anybody can comprehend how fast that is on a football field. I think the fastest time the Bears had on a football field, according to the Next Gen stats, was actually Jordan Howard last year at 22 miles per hour. That's including all the big plays and down the field. So 24 miles per hour is flying in regards to being in the open field. That just shows you the kind of speed he can generate. Long speed, using him to pull those safeties out of there, and how that's going to help your running game alone, let alone him and his ability to get over the top, where, yes, he's a shorter receiver, but that kind of separation in the route stem that he can obtain because of his quickness and agility, now you're looking at a Tyreek Hill to give you an example how they use him. Run a fade on one play, come back, be in the slot on the next play. Now you got the slot corner remembering the last play where the kid ran a fade and beat the corner by three steps and the safety doubled him. Now the slot has no help. Guess where his brain is? I can't let this guy beat me deep. All of a sudden he's pressing to go deep, undercuts is wide open on a little skinny post because the nickel's so nervous about getting beat over the top because he's got no help. These are the kind of things that you do with this kind of talent. And the fact that he's that elusive and has that much fluidity in his routes, Matt Ryan, honestly, the whole offensive philosophy in Atlanta was completely different. A lot of West Coast, a lot of seven-step drop, a lot of allowing things to develop, Mike Martz type of theories in there, a Sarkisian football to me, watching it, I just shook my head. I just didn't use the kid right. Yeah, there was a few bubble screens, and the kid ends up breaking a BG. I just really believe, and shout out to Diddy, one of the Barflies, who really was a big fan of this guy coming to the Bears. I honestly thought this kid was on his way to Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers. I really didn't even think there was a shot that we were going to get him, but now that he's here in the company that he's keeping in this wide receiver core, I really believe you have some lightning in the bottle here with this kid. This kid isn't really talked about that much in regards to what he could do. I know he had some smack talk back to PFF, and I loved it. Loved every minute of that because I feel like he's putting his stamp on himself. If you believe in yourself and you believe in the philosophy and you get in the playbook and you have that kind of talent and a quarterback that's accurate with a play caller that understands how to use this personnel, you're looking at Taylor Gabriel going to be something special next year. So fantasy football fans out there, you could steal this guy in the later rounds with the guy, especially here on the East Coast. A lot of these guys don't know the Bears roster and this roster and what have you in the Midwest. So you could steal some of these talents. Taylor Gabriel is somebody, I believe, that is going to surprise people in this offense. I am so excited about watching the Chiefs and just putting this kind of talent in the role that he's going to play. Now, no doubt, those people listening in that are, Tariq Cohen. There's no doubt that's going to be used too. But I think you heard Nagy emphasize that Tariq Cohen's a running back that's going to be used this. And you also hear him in this quote, to my point, him emphasize that he's a wide receiver. And that, to me, is giving you the flare shot up. That be prepared that this kid is something special. I think Furry being here and this whole staff is going to help not only Mitchell, but these players immensely. And Taylor Gabriel, to me, is somebody that I believe is, we need a term for it. a rising star in the making right now. The perfect fit to this offense.
So chat room is agreeing with you about Gabriel, and Ross makes a point. He says, fast is fast, but we got to be healthy and catch the damn ball.
Absolutely. I don't think you're going to have to worry about these hands catchers. I really don't. I think something I'm really going to talk about as we lead into the preseason, but I'll say this to the Barfly. What was his name? Ron?
The one, Ross. Oh, sorry, Russ.
Ross, sorry. Russ. I'll say this, Russ. In my time of watching the Bears and seeing them set up their personnel, this is a group of receivers that I believe I have not seen this kind of hands catchers. And what I mean by that is they look the ball through their eyes into their hands tremendous. Each one of them of the top four. And you're looking at Trey Burton involved in that. Trey Burton, Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, and the kid Miller. Now, what we're going to get out of Kevin White, from what I heard, BG, and I'll talk about this tomorrow night, because we talked a lot about Kevin White last week, that he has looked like a different person in a good way. So that's coming from somebody who I trust as a reporter that knows the game. A lot of these beat guys don't know the game of football. Oh, that was a good pass. Good catch. Good. On to the next. The person who told me that knows the game of football. So to me, I can't wait to see what Kevin White has. But these players on tape all catch with their hands. This isn't Josh Bellamy, a drop and then two catches and then two drops and consistency not there. This roster is full of guys with great hands. And that, I can't remember. Because even with Brandon Marshall, there was a lot of drops and a lot of missed opportunities in it, in that offense. So I think maybe if I had to look back, Curtis Conway, Jeff Graham, and Bobby Engram were three tremendous hands catchers on the field at the same time. This, to me, is better.
So I want to talk about something you've been doing the last couple of days. You've been running a different daily poll leading up to the new season. How are you coming up with your top four player options, and break down where we stand today with the results?
This is something that just came to me out of my head, and I was... It really honestly was inspired by Barfly, who sent me these tapes. Dan Aguirre, Bear Fan Dan.
And he's in the chat room.
Look at that. So Dan really inspired this. He was my muse, so to speak, with the DVDs that he sent. And I was looking at these former players, BG, like a James RoboCop Thornton and Tommy Waddle wearing number 87. I'm like, looking at Trace Armstrong and how his jersey from the 9 to the 3, there must be like a 12-inch separation between 9 and 3. And it just got me thinking, like, who wore these jerseys? And looking at these numbers, I use Pro Football Reference to go back and search the numbers, and it's amazing. If you want to do it at home, don't start copying my stuff, Matt Balsley, please. Next week he'll have it up. I didn't say
that. Save it for 100 proof, please.
I am an originator of... I love numbers. I wore 22 my whole life. It actually was inspired because a kid in the Pop Warner older than me had 34. I wanted to wear for Peyton, obviously. So there was no 34, so I had to choose. And the coach was like, he was this Southern guy. I'll never forget. He used to call me Huckleberry. I don't know what the heck it was for. What are you going to wear, Huckleberry? And I was like, I'll wear 22 for Doug Flutie. So 22 became my number for Doug Flutie. And I've always been about numbers. I wear 22 to this day around my neck in a nice necklace that my wife bought me. But irregardless of thinking back on this and going into Pro Football Reference and looking at these, and I started at 99, we're counting it down, BG, and I'm having a blast doing it with the Barfly. And I got to say, Akeem Hicks, Anthony Adams, these players jumping in, another sign of the difference that Halas Hall has right now. How cool is it that Akeem Hicks is being honest and voting and telling you he's voting for himself? And that Anthony Adams took his time out and was like, oh, I'm voting for Richard Dent. To me, it's Bears Barroom. It's the reach of what we're doing. And I appreciated the DVDs and I'm just thinking about these players that go with this franchise, and when you look at the jersey, who wore them, it's kind of shocking. Like, in looking at, you know, tomorrow we're going to hit number 94, and a lot of people are going to have recency bias, I believe, for Leonard Floyd, because I'm going to put him in there. I try to get guys, BG, that actually started games and not go back to the 1960s where Aldo was a young boy on the championship field of Wrigley. But if they're a quality starter of 20 games, I'm going to put them in if they were a name player. So I know I didn't get to tell everybody my math. We had the, what do we call it? The math patrol. John Wood came out today, like, you're 2 days old. I'm going to take a sabbatical from Twitter. I promised my wife I'm just going to take a break one weekend this summer and put my phone down for a weekend. So I'm not doing anything. So I figured I'd incorporate that, come back, and we continue the process. So that's why that transpired. And you know, maybe I should have put Mark Thomas over Ego Ferguson, BG. I don't know. I thought more people would clearly vote for Richard Dent. And sure enough, 68% of the vote went to Dent last night. So right now, as it stands, Bears Girl, we had Dan Hampton, who was like 89% of the vote at number 99. Then you had number 98, which surprised me. It went to Brian Robinson. Unfortunately, passed away. He had the famous block in the Walter Payton weekend when he had passed the Green Bay Packers to win. I can remember that game like it was yesterday. He said he felt like Walter raised him up a little bit higher and blocked the Packers kick. And the Bears ended up winning that game. And then you had 97 was Chris Zorich edging out my boy, the fisherman, Willie Young. Then 96 obviously went to Akeem Hicks. Akeem, I know you listen in on the podcast version. I did want to vote for you, but I'm the vote. So I would have voted for you too, Akeem, over Alex Brown, who I thought was the average player. Good player, quality starter. Akeem, to me, is a Pro Bowl All-Pro. He's been tremendous here.
And was then, completely honest in that he voted for himself in our poll as well.
Yeah, 100 proof. 100 Bears Barroom way. Keep it 100. You know, if you got to sing a song, sing it. Put it on Twitter. If you have anything you want to say, say it. You know, that's what we do here. And we always keep it 100. Akeem came on the show with us, kept it 100. And he continues to do so. So that was awesome. And then you had today's filthy animal. But I thought, no offense, Anthony, I thought it was just going to be a slam dunk. 98% Richard Dent. I was surprised how many votes Anthony Adams had. I try to put four names out there, even if they don't have a shot, to give four names. If you want to write in, I put that in the option, write in a player. But we're going to continue to do this throughout. I think it's a fun look at the history of the Chicago Bears. It's crazy when you look at the numbers, the players that wore it. Obviously, 34, 47 is the great George Halas. These numbers are going to be a non-vote. It'll just be, maybe I'll just put them. That's it. Vote for Walter. I don't think you're going to find another 34. I was surprised that Ego got one vote, a couple votes today, Ego Ferguson. But that's what we're doing. We're having fun with it. I hope you're all enjoying it as much as I am. I mean, we had almost 800 votes or 600, 700 votes with Akeem Hicks, 500 votes today with Richard Dent taking number 95, the sack man. Hall of Famer Richard Dent.
Like Hicks replied to a barfly, everyone is entitled to their opinion. So we look forward to the next 90 some odd that you've got lined up for us as the weeks lead up to September. So are you ready for Ask BHL?
Well, there's 14 weeks. So 14 times 7. Oh, Marone. Let's... Yes.
That is not an Ask BHL question. I'm sorry to report. But barflies love our hashtag, and we love our barflies. And here is what some of them had to say. Gonzo at the Bears Go Gonzo asked, at what point during the season will the national media finally stop disrespecting the Chicago Bears?
I think it's every team feels disrespected. And I think there's some validity to the Chicago fan base feeling it, but there's also some what we call humble pie because we haven't been good for the reasons I led off with my rant, coaching. You know, I know Jeff Carter over there, the realtor, buy a house from him. I don't know what might happen, but coaching is the very, very, very essence of turning around a culture and a franchise. Can't have it both ways. Can't. You know, as Mike Singletary should say, can't do it. He was right. You can't. Can't praise Bill Belichick and then all of a sudden think coaching doesn't matter. There's a reason why they're there. It's not just because of Brady. Obviously, Brady is the greatest of all time, but coaching matters. Coaching matters in every game of football. And now you have a change. So until the Bears start winning, they're going to be disrespected and overlooked. But I think this offseason has been a firefly effect happening, that there's a little speckles of sparks of national media giving Bears and the Chicago Bears and their fan base some praise and recognition for what truly is out there that we're talking about tonight. A change in personnel, a change in philosophy, a culture change, a class change. Next thing, are they going to make a uniform change? That'll be the next thing. I know.
We're still waiting on the orange jerseys.
So there's a lot of change. And to me, in what you haven't been doing hasn't been working, it was necessary. And I think I look at this personnel and the groupings and everything they have, and I think you're going to only get respect when you earn it in this league, and that's by winning football games. There's no moral victories in the NFL. You know, I can't be a hypocrite here and down and be very hard on John Fox and company, and I'm going to be the same way with Matt Nagy and company when it comes to coaching, decision-making, use of personnel, aggressiveness on Sundays. You know, think about this. How many games did the Bears lose 3 to 5 points or less? That'll be the impetus of where your coaching comes into play. An aggressive coach at midfield that goes for it might get hammered if they get stopped that guy needs to be recognized. The great ones do it, and they come back. Remember Bill Belichick going for it on his own 25 against the Colts and not getting it, and they end up losing? Did he lose his job? Did he lose the locker room? He believed in his team. He believed that they were going to get it. They didn't. Sometimes you got to take the heat in the press, but the team rallies around that. And how you respond to aggressive coaching ultimately takes you to another level. To me, that's what you're going to see here, and that's going to turn the tides of the national respect.
So last week while we were on hiatus, we had a couple of barflies not realize that we weren't recording. And Zeke asked us last week, do you expect the Bears to have a fast-tempo offense?
I absolutely do. I think Bear fans are going to have to be ready to see a different approach, something they haven't seen formationally, something they haven't seen aggressively, and what Zeke is spinning here. I think you're going to see them trying to get as many opportunities to catch the defense in a slumber as possible. And how do you do that? By going and being fast-paced, making the defense not be able to substitute and counter what it is you're doing and taking advantage of your dominant personnel. And it really is going to hinge on Mitch's shoulders in the playbook and how aggressively he's able to learn it and get on the same page. And I think from what I'm hearing, the kid is really doing well, and that's a great sign for what it is that's coming. But I think it's definitely going to be something a part of this football team moving forward, and 100% believe it's going to be in the Bears' best interest to also do that. Say it takes an offense 2 years to get acclimated to it. When you aggressively move, I think it shortens the gap, and it really helps your football team.
Another question from one of the barflies who happens to be in the chat tonight is Ben Driscoll at Benjamin Driscoll. He says, I know it's still early, but does anyone have any idea why Roquan hasn't been signed to his rookie deal yet?
Oh, it's a great question, actually. It's something I'm wondering myself. You know, obviously, he's out there. It's not impeding him from participating. So clearly, I think because these deals are so bracketed from where they are last year to where they are slotted this year, that these contracts are always worked out in some sort of language in regards to the guaranteed money and where it's going to raise. So if he's picked eighth, last year's eighth was getting paid this much, got this much bonus. This year, the percentage should rise to this much, and that's where the negotiation starts. But if the guy at seven hasn't signed his deal yet, that kind of slows down what the agent wants to negotiate, because let's face it, the agent doesn't want to say, okay, we're going to go on the percentage from last year to this year, and we're going to get this deal done. Then next week, the seventh player picked, or the player after in the ninth spot, gets his contract, and it's like $6 million more than what Roquan got. So I think this is an agent thing, and the fact that the first round picks haven't all been signed, I don't think it's anything to be panicked about. I think it's just about slotting and not having any egg on your face in regards to that financial situation. Let's face it, you know, you see it with Zach Miller. It's an important process to a young man's life and his family. So it's important to get it right. If he was sitting out of these mini camps and OTAs, I think then you'd be concerned about it. But because he's participating, it's going to get done early July, or middle of July before camp.
So we have another theory brewing thanks to John Santucci in the chat room. He says that he's trying out for the White Sox.
up and high, John. It wasn't a perfect pitch.
So I don't typically do shout-outs on Bears Hour Live, but we got to do one for a new Barfly who's recently joined Twitter and is now asking questions at AskBHL, Michael Guzman at Michael_G09. Just created his Twitter account last week to follow all of us degenerates at the bar room. So thank you, Michael. His first question was, yeah, great guy. As Bears fans, we've been pretty excited to see what Roy Robertson Harris can do on Sundays, but unfortunately, that has not been the case. Can we expect big things from this young man with his experience in the same defense, or Bilal Nichols go in there and leave no doubt?
It's honestly something I've talked about, Mike, before. This is where my eyes are going to be focused on. Obviously, a lot to focus on with this new personnel. I don't know positionally, maybe cornerback where you're just, okay, Prince, Fuller, maybe Cravon and Callahan do a little battling there, but you kind of know where they are. Safety, I know Vic threw Deion Bush into the mix in regards to improving. So, you know, what does that mean? That'll be interesting to look at. But that five technique, you know, Roy Robb, to me, has the position right now. How he handles that and how this goes, I believe he's over Bullard. I believe that message is being sent for a reason, and it's a good one. Get your head out of your butt and get ready. And I believe that, you know, Bilal Nichols being drafted sends a message as well, that nobody's job is safe, that competition is important, and it is going to be, to me personally, one of the more exciting things to watch on tape. And I think that's where my focus is going to be in the preseason. Because you get the extra game, it's going to be interesting to see how many reps these guys get. I know in the years past, Bullard would have gotten 4 reps or 5 reps, or he wouldn't play with the starter. Then he's out when he should be playing the whole first half, really getting a feel because he's done nothing to say that he's a starter. I want to see how they handle that. And I really want to see how they handle these players. And to me, in the time that Vic has been here, I really thought Jay Howard signing from Kansas City over here was going to be something more than he ever was. He ended up getting cut. And then Mitch Unrein's got a lot of hyped up and talked about that position. And now he's down in Tampa. So now it's Bullard, a rookie, and a guy that was undrafted that's now 6'7", 290-something pounds. So to me, I don't know how much more exciting this could be, because I think, in all honesty, assessing them talent-wise, Roy Robb and Bilal Nichols are the more talented five techniques. Now, the Bears and Fangio play a lot of underlooks, and essentially that's a 4-3, and they're going to use a guy, a quick twitch, playing that 3 technique in a nickel, where you're playing that kind of front a lot. The 3-4 scheme gets overanalyzed, so that's where I was saying that you can see this kid, Roy Robb, playing that edge rusher as a defensive end in a 2-3-point stance coming off the edge at 290-something pounds, wearing number 95, you know, could it bring the old Richard Dent look coming off the edge? How he's handled his offseason is exciting to me, because I already know the excitement I have for Nichols. So Bullard is like the Kevin White of the defense. Anything you're getting from him at this point, to me, is gravy, because I've ultimately looked at his body this offseason and his focus. I just hope it's there. So I know I'm giving you the long answer, but I really wanted to make sure the excitement at this position opposite Akeem Hicks and the use. Everybody just throws this 3-4 defense. You look at the odd fronts and the odd looks that Fangio creates with his defensive line and the use of personnel, you're going to be excited about a guy like Nichols and Roy Robb on the field at the same time, with Roy Robb playing that defensive end in a three-point stance, Nichols playing an outside shade over the guard, and you get a pass rush from those two. To me, you're cooking with gas now with this kind of personnel upgrade. I love the Nichols draft pick. I love what I've seen of Roy Robb. I'm excited to see if he could put it together and stay healthy.
So it is the top of the hour, and our super producer is giving me the look. But we know that I do whatever I want here, so we're going to continue asking all of the Ask BHL questions, because the Barflies don't let me live it down when I don't ask their questions. So I'm going to go to the next question from Michael Guzman. Assuming Prince and Kyle win their starting jobs, who are your top two to watch at camp to emerge as the Nichols slot corners, or do you believe that he is not on the roster yet?
So he wants to know the nickel and slot corners?
Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Which is the same. So, you know, Cravon LeBlanc and Bryce Callahan, I believe, are going to be your nickel corners. The excitement is in that third corner. You know, is it going to be my boy Tolliver from LSU? Is it going to be the kid from the small school? Oh, man. Totally just had his name. Anthony. Shoot. One of the Barflies will know his name. DeQuessian? Why did I lose his name? I apologize. I'll get the name for you. Undrafted free agent from Division III, Kyle. He ended up playing in the Senior Bowl, showing out. What's he going to bring to the table? Then you have the other corner, the undrafted free agent from former Auburn kid. He ended up playing up in BG's country. He's not getting talked about much. And Mincy played at Auburn, played in Canadian Football League, was brought over here. He's competing in there for that cornerback position and nickel. I heard a couple good things about that young man. You know, it's exciting to see, because I feel like some of these younger players have the talent to do something here. And with Marcus Cooper coming back, how does he respond to what was a dreadful ending to what he did last season, getting cut, then returning on the roster at a cheaper deal? He's taking a one-year bet on himself. How does he respond? So I don't think he's out of the woodwork. I was in the group of, I want to see this football player, because I felt like, prior to the stupidity of the Pittsburgh Steeler blocked field goal, taunt, fumble at the goal line, the whole drama of one of the dumbest plays you'll ever see, really affected his confidence, and I felt like he suffered because of that. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out with him. How does he respond to Tolliver and some of these young undrafted free agents coming in here? I think they're pretty comfortable with what they have at the cornerback position, especially in the nickel with Callahan and Cravon LeBlanc, as well as a kid like Mincy. I know the small school kid that I can't remember his name. Aldo, did you pull it up? Maybe over there. The undrafted kid.
No, he hasn't been able to find it yet.
Oh, okay. So that kid is going to be in the mix. I'm interested in seeing how he performs on the football field for the Chicago Bears.
So we have a write-in vote from the chat room. Gaines Report, he says, will Adam Shaheen come into his own and maybe have a breakout game of 100 yards receiving?
Oh, without a doubt. Here's a football player that I believe is going to surprise a lot of people on this football team. The kid is Michael Joseph from Dubuque.
That was a couple Barflies share that in the chat room right now as well.
The other two kids, before I move on to Shaheen, that I remember now, was the kid Font from Indiana. Watching his tape, how does he respond to the competition? A lot of talent. I know Chachi and new Broadway singer Air Jer are from Indiana, big fans of Fant. How does he respond to the competition? I like that football player. Going to be interested in seeing him, as well as my boy, and I don't know how I forgot, kid Franklin III from Florida Atlantic. They're going to play him at corner. He's someone you got to keep a close eye on for what he's going to be able to bring to the table there. I'm excited about that kid's speed and versatility. Surprised they're putting him at corner. I thought they would be putting him at receiver, but, you know, you've seen it with Devin Hester, superior athletes, that kind of football speed. Coaches see him in certain lights. They put him in certain positions. Big Cat Williams, those guys can transition. So this cornerback depth and group is something that excites me. Now on to Shaheen. I just, for the Gaines report, my boy, I think Shaheen is quietly lurking for a big man in the shadows. Just watching him, knowing he wasn't used correctly and appropriately, and much like Taylor Gabriel, fitting in this offense very, very well in what you want to use, that kind of athletic inline tight end that also can move. He could be a U tight end. That's how athletic he is. And I think they talked about lengthening his gait and understanding how to run on the football field and these little, you know, baby deer type things that you see in a talent that you just have to gain confidence in. You saw him in the Detroit game and the Cincinnati game. A lot of people don't talk about that. Became Mitch Trubisky's security blanket on third downs and what was a close game at halftime. Much largely due to the refereeing and what have you, but you saw Shaheen like really be the impetus of the run game as well as the pass game in critical situations, making big third down catches, also had a touchdown catch in that game. I think Shaheen is going to be your Jason Kelce type. I think he's that athletic. He's big. All he has to do is understand his role in the playbook, because I really believe he's got soft hands, tremendous. You heard Matt Nagy talk about him surprised at how much length the kid has and how much radius his catch radius is. So that kind of stuff with someone who knows how to use the talent appropriately are going to make people that called him a stupid pick, a bust, a small school, you don't do it. They're going to be in their words. And I'm going to be loving every minute of that, because I'm of the belief that you allow players to grow and you see them ascend, building their confidence and talent. To me, there's never been a doubt in my mind about Shaheen's talent. In fact, I would be infuriated that he wasn't used appropriately at all. How in God's name, not to bring up bad memories, Gaines, but how is this guy not used in the red zone in every goddamn trip you took down there with a Jordan Howard off action game getting a mismatch on a safety? To me, the days and nights that I would waste getting so frustrated with the offensive coordinator's use of personnel, let alone play calling, I feel like we're in good hands here. And again, like Taylor Gabriel, an ascending, soon-to-be rising star in Adam Shaheen with his buddy, Mitch Trubisky, roommate in the offense.
So our next question comes from Chachi at Frankie Myers, and it wouldn't be a question from Frankie without homework. He gave us an article to read as well, so I'm not sure if you had a chance to read that yet, Phil. But he asks, the Bears have a deep and versatile group of defensive linemen. If the team is more sorted for an odd front, could we see Floyd playing more of a Leo role and Lynch Ocho filling in at the base end?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly how they're going to do it. I mean, Floyd is going to be a rush guy. unfortunately, I don't know what transpired in regards to personnel where they used Floyd any other way. He's going to be that Jack or Leo, however you want to use the term for these guys. His main job is going to be the rush to pass. He's your best pass rusher right now on the roster. I can't think of anybody that's better except for Akeem Hicks. I think Akeem, I can make a case to tell you and show you that Akeem is the best pass rusher on the football team. But as regards to the prototypical and what have you philosophy here on defense, Leonard Floyd is going to be your Jack, what I would term it, where the term Jack is he could drop into coverage, but his main job is to rush the passer, be on the open side of the formation to get that mismatch and get after the quarterback. So to me, Chachi, absolutely, that's how I would use this guy. I would make sure he was on the open side of the football field, allowing himself that one-on-one matchup versus him in the tackle to get him to the quarterback. That's how I'd use that football player, and I think that's how you're going to see him, especially with the personnel that they have now in regards to it. So his health is going to be critical to this defense and how it moves forward.
John Santucci wrote in with two questions, and his first one is, let's talk Kevin White's last presser. How much do these events factor into his terse responses to the reporter's questions? The Bears not picking up his fifth-year option, drafting of Miller and Wims, signing of Robinson, Gabriel, and Burton. And how big a role do you think White will have?
I didn't hear the first part of the question only because I didn't read Chachi's article because my son swallowed a nickel tonight. So my wife is texting me from the emergency room letting me know little Devin is okay. I'm getting pictures of the nickel inside.
Oh, wow, they got it out? Oh, okay.
No, it's inside his belly. It's in the middle. Oh,
we are glad that Devin is okay.
So hopefully he'll bypass that. We could talk about that on 100 Proof. So it's been crazy night tonight. So I didn't see any of these questions for... And I apologize. I saw some of the questions earlier in the day, but no, I didn't get to see that. And Kevin White, to me, Tooch, is going to be the wild card of this. Like I said, I put about a nickel's worth of competence in the Chicago beat reporter reporting what they see, because 9 times out of 10, they never coached, never played, never understood the whole ramifications of what someone's being asked to do. Did they catch or didn't they catch? That's what you're getting. When someone tells me they're understanding their playbook and the concepts and they're attacking the football aggressively and they're making catches and they're separating and they're looking confident out there, like it matters, that's when the light switch goes on. What... We've seen players that have woken up last year, Kyle Fuller. A lot of pressure on him. What is he going to be? Obviously a defensive football player, but still. Curtis Conway took a few years to get in the groove and confidence up. How this kid handles, and like Shane said, these were broken bones. These were freaky accidents that happened. So he's... Everything at the Thanksgiving table has been served. He's the gravy now. Sometimes grandma forgot to make the gravy. We got a chaos or what have you. Kevin White is not a part of this team's need future going forward. He's got to define to the football team and to the fan base that you need me. Because this is what I'm bringing to the table. So how they use him is going to be entirely up. And I believe that. I don't think Coach Nagy is a Coach Fox or a Coach Geron. Not even a Geron. I think Geron was a little bit to his word. But Lovie Smith sometimes wasn't to his word. Let's be honest. Mark Trestman was never to his word. I think Matt Nagy, when he says the best are going to play, I believe the best are going to play. Because you know what? For Matt Nagy, the most important thing besides number 10 is winning. And that's the difference, I believe. At all costs, play the best to win. And if Kevin is one of those guys and he has the opportunity, I'm never... Kevin White gets a clean slate for me. July 21st, my birthday, opening day of camp. He gets a clean slate for me. How he handles that opportunity is going to be my second most fun thing to watch, aside from the five-tech battle. I think Kevin White's who he is going to be defined then. Is he going to be a guy like that just floats around the league? Oh, he's a name, so he's going to get picked up by another team, and then he's going to get cut there, and then in a year he's out of the league? Or is he going to take this to heart and come out here and showcase the talent that you saw coming out of West Virginia? That, to me, in this offense, he has the perfect opportunity because it fits him, and it's ultimately up to him now.
And our last question of the show also goes to John Santucci, the Tooch. Let's talk new NFL kickoff rules. Coverage teams won't have as big a running start, no wedges or wedge busters. Teams are putting faster coverage guys out there. It feels like kickoffs will be more like punts. Tariq Cohen returned punts last year. Does he pull double duty?
It depends. To me, I would have a competition because of the importance of it. I think, you know, a kid like John Franklin, the third, is going to come in here with that kind of blazing speed. A Taylor Gabriel, you know, how Tabor views the importance with Nagy of the personnel. I can quote Charles Tillman saying, as a starting corner, I wanted to be on the football field to block for Devin Hester because I knew that that could change the tides of games. This new rule, I believe, is going to bring excitement and more kick returns than people realize right now. So I think the opportunity to find these hidden yards and create short fields are going to be there. And yeah, Tooch, if I was to bet on it today, my guy back there clearly would be Tariq Cohen. But that's not going to rule out a guy like Benny Cunningham, Taylor Gabriel, you know, John Franklin III. Even a Bryce Callahan has had opportunities to return punts and kickoffs. That team is going to be interesting to see how they play it and who's going to be, but you're right. He's right on the money in talking about it's going to be more like a punt return where these things are going to be set up and there's going to be lanes for returners to take advantage of. And I believe, you know, a smart guy in the Dave Tobe tree of coaching that recognizes these hidden yards could be had that could change games like Charles is talking about. That's going to help a young coach and a young quarterback. They're going to be all about getting the best player out there. So even if that person is a starter on offense, a Taylor Gabriel or a Tariq Cohen, they're going to be out there to change the tides of the team. So don't get your panties in a bunch if you see a guy out there that's a starter that ultimately can help this team win football games. How many games were won because of Devin Hester and those hidden yards? There was a lot of games, I can tell you that. It ultimately got you to a Super Bowl. And if Lovey had done the right thing and kept Thomas Jones in the football game, you might have won the Super Bowl. So Devin Hester, Tariq Cohen, all these guys with the new kickoff rule, it's going to be exciting. In fact, the Bears are going to be the first ones to take advantage of it in the Hall of Fame game and to see how it's done firsthand. So I'm excited about that new rule. I think it's something a lot of people aren't talking about. And as you look at the rule closer and closer, it's exactly what Tooch is saying. It's going to be almost like a punt So it's going to be interesting to see.
So we are back on Wednesday with a brand new 100 Proof and another Bears on Tap will hit your podcast streams on Friday. And while you wait for those shows, head over to bearsbarroom.com so you can read a new article by Chris Armstrong on her predictions for the Bears in 2018. Our summer schedule starts this week, so you will hear a bit less of us in June and July, but don't you worry. We'll let you know where and when you can find us, and there are some other exciting barroom initiatives we are working to launch at the end of July. Final thoughts, Phil?
Chrissy Armstrong! Final thoughts. We are kicking off closer to the off season, and like I said at the top of the show, there's a change in the air, a level of class we haven't seen before, and the personnel to match it. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, step for step, a coach and a GM in Chicago with a plan together. No infighting, no drama. Young quarterback got me fired up, BG, and we're going to talk about it.
Here is what some barflies had to say all night long in our chat room. Airjair on Zach Miller. I like that Hogan Johns brought up the fact that Miller cut tape for the tight ends room when he was hurt last time. He wants to be the reason for success. Andres Gula says Phil should make a new song about the Miller catch. Payne's report says, funny thing is we're all going to be stupid excited a year from today. Mitch, after 1 year under his belt, oh baby, he is just learning how defenses move. Bears fan Dan says, Davante Adams dropped so many balls I was scared the Bears would get him. I am so glad he is still in Green Bay. Vandris Gula says, if White can give us anything besides a trip to the injured reserve list, man, look out. And Gaines' report says that White will get 900 yards.
Wow, Gaines. Like our, them Gaines.
Our final barfly comment goes to Vandris Gula, who says, Phil's kid swallowing nickels is better than Bellamy catching dime.
Perfect way to end
that show. That wraps up this edition of Bears Hour Live, folks. Well, Bears Hour and a half, actually. We will see you all next week. Bye.
It's always chaos in the Atoshan household.
We expect nothing less.
But loud and loud.